And our full moon hotline, of course, is 818-817-0021. We're floating the format this night, so we'll continue to update you on the situation in the United Kingdom, where they have cracked the apparent terrorism situation that affected 20-some aircraft. But this situation is not going to go away. Here in the United States, they are already implementing some changes, banning liquids, for example. So that I guess that means you can't take mouthwash on your plane. I don't know yet, but I'm sure we'll find out more in the morning. We'll be back, though. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. Let's get right to it. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Chad Robinson from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Chad. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I'm a long-time listener since I was in high school and now 27 years old.
My God,
actually turning 27 today.
You're growing up with us.
I am growing up with you guys. Well, I grew up with Art, and then you came on, and then I started listening probably more to you only because I have summers off now that I teach. I'm a high school teacher.
Well, good for you.
So my question to you is, it's kind of a general question because, of all the things that you guys discuss on the show and the programs and the site and everything. But my brother, who is also a listener, he's listening right now. I called him and woke him up because we've never gotten in before. So it's kind of an accomplishment, to say the least. And my question is, he emailed me a really interesting site that talks about this book called Imagining the Tenth Dimension. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
I will email it to you because I know you can't take that stuff over the phone line, but it's a very intriguing site, and being a science teacher, integrated science, where I like to tie everything together with my students, I find this to be a very interesting topic, and the basis of it is, and I really can't explain it, but the best part about this site is it gives an actual video tutorial, if you will, of all the 10 dimensions, a theory, of course, that stems sort of from the string theory. And obviously we know the length, the width, and the height, the first three dimensions, and then the fourth one, or they're saying in this case the tenth dimension is being that of time. Well, that leaves five that are open.
Right. I think a lot of them have to do with multiverses, things that are all, these other universes all connected to each other.
And this is exactly where I'm getting to, so you're kind of reading my mind here.
Do that a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it goes into talking about opportunity and chance and free will and, you know, nothing's totally predetermined, but there's set paths that we're able to take. But what I wanted to kind of maybe tie together and integrate, because that's kind of my nature, is there's another book that I read back when I was in high school, another thing my brother recommended, a book that's called Nothing in This Book is True, But It's Exactly How Things Are by Bob Frizzell.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Okay, well, in this, and it's either this or the sequel to that, which is called Something in This Book is True, which is also a great book, talks about how our galaxy, another theory, of course, our galaxy could be, or in some way, shape, or form, moving or migrating towards something else, around something else, or however.
Oh, I think there's no question about that. That's
and
happening.
To me, I don't question that either. And they stated in this theory that the pattern that it may be taking is something very similar to the double helix, which makes up our DNA.
It could also be going into a huge black hole.
Oh, exactly. Well, that's what they just discovered in the center of our
that's right,
system.
And that's all we need, right?
And that was a huge thing with my students. Now, we talked about that quite a bit. But the cool thing also about this book that I mentioned first, The Tenth Dimension, is the front cover actually, it's pretty much a straight line with a spiral going around it, just like DNA double helix.
Yeah, well, believe me, that was done by design. We've got to take some more calls. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air.
Yes, the love of the Lord is upon you again. It is I.
Not you again.
The third God's 10-star general in the war against media pornography. And I'm going to set you straight tonight, George. I am holding in my hands a letter that I have received from Edna Pringle.
Edna, finally, she has arisen.
I have a mind to read it to you and just to let you know how low she's gone. But first, I want to point out to you that the reason you are getting on all of these stations is because you are using your criminal connections to bully people into putting your station on. In fact, word on the street is you sent one of your goons after Rusty Humphreys today and tried to have him beat up in the parking lot.
I have no goons,
yes,
JC.
Yes, you do. Mr. Norrie, let me tell you how it goes around the table. When you sit there with your goons And you don't give any direct commands. You always just sort of say, you know, if so-and-so is were to have an accident.
Well, that's presidential. That's president. Oh, you're ridiculous, Jason.
Don't call me. You insulted me again. Because the other night you didn't even defend me against Brother Diamond called me a moron.
Wait a minute. I was the one who put you on, JC. Now, you know that I am as close to righteousness as you can get.
How dare you? That's insulting. I'm going to read. You have degenerated one of my followers into the sewer. Now, are you going to let me read this letter?
For a moment, you sounded like Mr. Haney on Green Acres.
Who?
Mr. Haney.
Are you going to let me read this letter?
Well, it depends. Is it pornographic?
No, I would say some of it is salacious, but there's nothing pornographic.
Well, I would ask you, because there may be children listening, JC,
well,
that you change some of the
words. Them with this. It starts like this. Dear JC, it's Edna Pringle, your former disciple. I write you to let you know I'm still alive and well. There are 5 pages of this, by the way. I have enjoyed spending all $10,000 of the Lord's money. I even got it at the 50 grand on a poker run at an Indian casino. The scambling is... As you know, I ran off with Blade, a biker. What kind of name is Blade? Who names their children Blade?
I don't know.
A corrupted person. I have been living a new life and experimenting many new things. I am eating fatty foods, ice cream, and I smoked a marijuana cigarette.
Oh, my.
And had my first menage a trois, whatever that is.
Oh, JC, you probably don't even know what that is.
While being a biker babe was fun and Blade was a sex machine, I decided there's more to life than the need for speed and multiple organisms. I've settled down now with Bub, a long-haul trucker. We live on the road and listen to Coast to Coast every night. I plan to spend most of the rest of my life with him, and we even adopted 2 homeless kittens and named them Art and George. I still love Jesus, and I know he loves me, even though I've been bad and it feels so good. I'm not going to read any more of it, because she's going like this. This is corruption. She is going to be dragged
down
to hell.
She sounds like she's having a wonderful time, JC.
That's what you people have done to my disciple. Mr. Norrie.
All right, JC.
Mr. Norrie.
Yes.
Don't you hang up on me now.
I've never.
You're going to let me. What I need is a righteous woman to email me at theballingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com that will be my new disciple.
You think there's actually someone who's listening to Coast to Coast right now who wants to
agree
date
with me? The hordes of people that agree with me outnumber. The moral majority outnumbers your immoral.
What do you look like? Why don't you give us a little description, you know, in case anyone is interested in
you? Well, she would have a modest values. She would dress modest.
Not her, you. What do you look like?
Excuse me? How dare you? You are such a shallow man. I don't have to take insultation.
That's, as Art would say, that's JC hanging up. Well, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Just wanted to know what he looked like. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm from South Carolina.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say that we're so concerned about the world, you know, with the terrorism and everything. My ex-husband, we've been divorced about 6 years. I didn't know at the time when we got married, he just told me, you know, he was from Jordan. Come to find out, he's actually Palestinian.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a Palestinian unless you've got some more information here.
Well, the whole family. They're all Muslims, but they claim to be Christian.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And there are some Christians who are from the Middle East. I'm one of them.
Not that, but the thing is he was allowed into the military.
So?
Not being a U.S. citizen.
Not being a citizen?
Not being a U.S. citizen, no.
Well, I don't know. I was in the Navy 9 years, but I don't know if you are allowed to get into the military without being a citizen.
You are. He was also.
I don't think you can be.
After 9/11, he was allowed into the Army Reserve.
Okay, yeah, but you haven't said there's anything wrong with him. So where are you headed with this?
No, actually, there is. He has a lot of the beliefs. His family, probably last year, all went back over to the Middle East.
So what?
When all the problems started. Well, my question is, though, is how can you be in our military and not be a U.S. citizen?
That I don't know. I can't answer that for you. It's a question that I never had to face, and never even thought about it.
Because they're complaining, you know, that everybody is coming in into our country. They're coming across the borders, you know, that they're with terrorist plots and all this. But yet they're allowing people from, and not just Middle Eastern, any.
Oh, I always thought that you had to be a citizen to be in the military. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll check into it because now I'm curious, okay? Now, what kind of guy was he? You got divorced, but did you like him? Was he a nice person for a while?
For the first couple of years until his parents got kind of put their influence into it, and then it got to the point where we have two sons, and the only son that he wanted to have anything to do with was the eldest son.
Well, most Middle Eastern guys have that old country feeling about their sons. I mean, that is true. I it's something I don't like, but it's normal in the Middle East.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not just a preference. He had nothing to do with his younger son.
Okay, right? Look, hey, you know what? There are a lot of American men that have nothing to do with their sons. You don't know how many people are running around that have been what we call deadbeat dads who aren't paying child support. And, yep, deadbeat mothers who should be paying child support, too. They're not doing that as well. Look, one of the dangers of your call, and I want everybody to understand this, is the paranoia that's going to happen when all these other situations occur. Because in this particular case, you haven't said there's anything wrong with this person in terms of what we're looking at in terms of terrorism. He goes into the military. Maybe he was a great soldier. I mean, so, you know, you got to be careful. You really got to be careful. Next up, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
James in Kansas City.
Hello, James. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I was just thinking about that, them guys that come in from Egypt. Maybe they're switching identities with terrorists here, and they'll sneak them back out, and they're legally in the country.
They are legally in the country. And by the way, you don't have to be a citizen to be in the military. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, because we had guys from the Philippines that was in boot camp with me when I was in the Navy, and they weren't citizens, but they went through our boot camp.
Well, let me tell you, again, like you just said, they legally came in. Most of the 9/11 hijackers came in legally. That doesn't mean that you don't plug up your borders, because I'd rather know who they were than not. Full Moon Open Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Scott in Wisconsin.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, I wanted to say on the Full Moon thing, I volunteered my help at a nursing home.
Well, good for you. That's admirable.
Yeah, it's fun. You meet a lot of people. But when the full moon would come out, we would see things. And also, when the weather would change, when it would get real stormy and the barometric pressure would drop,
yeah,
people's behavior would change also.
Would it change the same way as it would if there were a full moon?
Pretty much, yes. Most of the cases, we had one gentleman that would welcome all the new nurses. And then when they were kind enough to talk to him, he'd say that he was from the FBI and he'd have to kill him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so all the new nurses didn't like that too much.
No, I don't think they would.
We had one gentleman that managed to get off of the Alzheimer's ward, went out into the parking lot, found an unlocked car, and defecated in it.
Oh, that's very nice.
The person, was not happy. We look at it now. It's funny.
Can you give me a little better story than that?
Pardon?
Can you give me a little better story than that one?
Well, the big thing is they would talk to people, like relatives that have been dead a while.
Uh-huh.
They would say they're going to call them, or that people, they would talk to people that weren't there.
Well, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Okay, well, thanks for your call. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. It's Sebastian from Arcadia.
Hey, Sebastian. Good. Thank you.
Hey, I just got back from Coral Castle like 2 days ago, and it was absolutely an amazing experience.
Oh, it must have been. And those can you imagine how this guy, this frail guy, moved these things around?
I mean, we had an incredible time. We spent a lot of time there, and I talked with Alan, one of the main tour guides there, and I suggested, guy, you know, you should really be on George's show, because we talked a lot about Orgone Energy, and then when the main central ley line, that came in. And in the 20s, how did this guy know in the middle of swampland with, like, gators to find out that this is a major powerful ley line? I'll tell you how powerful it is because I do a lot of energy work, and I could feel both of my palms were vibrating. You stand in front of it, and it's split. There's, like, two lines down the wall. And by the way, I'm going to send you a bunch of photos tomorrow.
Please, I'd love to see them. And I'll get over to Richard Hoagland, too, because, you know, he's very interested with what's going on over there.
Well, you know, actually, Alan said that Richard was there, I guess, recently or in the last year. He said that...
He was there about a year and a half ago, I think.
Yeah, he could register. He was testing and could register during the solar flare period.
Yes, yes.
And I was just telling him, I said to Alan, I said, you know, you should try to get, like, with George and do like a roundtable thing and get Hutchinson involved. I mean, I tell you, man, we spent 3 hours. There was nobody there. It was really incredible. We went around and really got a chance to look at everything. I took a lot of incredible photos.
How big does that place look?
It's actually surprisingly small, but a friend of mine had recently gone to Stonehenge that was with our group, and she was like, you know what? The energy here is more powerful than Stonehenge. It was just like, wow, I'm telling you, we had an incredible time. I mean, it's just like, yeah, it was like there was a small little spot where he would, like, I would almost want to say meditate, and it was like, you know, it's hot as ever there. It's so hot. But in that little crevice, it's cool, and it's like where you could cool down. It was just things that just defied. Like, he had tuberculosis, like, at the end of his life, he didn't have it. There was a spot with water, and I can't remember the gentleman that does the dowsing with the water work to see how far the throw is.
Right.
But we went to this. It's like a five-pointed star, and it has water in it. And I cleared myself energy-wise, stood over it. Oh, my God. The energy was so powerful. We took the water. We put it on us. I mean, like, it could almost be like another Lord's. I mean, he healed himself, and he called that little area where the children would go play. And they would begin to, like, become acclimated to this energy. And there's little chairs. And it seemed like it was like you moved in your progression in learning to deal with this energy. And I got to tell you, it was just at one point, it was almost like overwhelming. I could tap into the energy. I'm sure any of your other listeners that have gone there that do different energy work, I mean, would just blown away.
Well, he's got that built right on those ley lines, and that's where most, I think, the energy sources are coming from. Yeah, just make sure you get us some of those photographs if you want, and I'm sure you've got our address. Just get it right out to us, and hey, maybe we'll post some of those. We're going to continue with open lines when we come back. We'll be back, and we'll take some final phone calls and update you on the situation in the United Kingdom as well, where Scotland Yard apparently has been all over a possible terrorist situation that included 20 aircraft. They have 20 suspects in custody, and the big concern was a liquid type of explosive. And I'm told now that you will not be able to take liquids on U.S. flights. But I'll have more of that later on, too. Now, isn't this interesting? Israel has put its massive new ground offensive into southern Lebanon on hold for 2 or 3 days. They would like to give the United Nations Security Council more time to come up with some kind of an agreement on a ceasefire. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Along with what's going on in Britain, where they have arrested apparently 20 suspects who are going to blow up in the air a number of planes, maybe 20, loaded with passengers. And they think they had some kind of new liquid kind of explosive that gets through the detectors. And here in the United States, apparently, they are going to ban carrying any kind of liquid onto a plane. What that includes, I do not know. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls on open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Final segment now of Open Lines, including, of course, the Full Moon Hotline, which is 818-817-0021. And let's go to that line right now. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, George. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, it's spooky, isn't it?
It is spooky. Everything that's going on lately is spooky. Real life is spooky.
Well, can I just say something before I tell you my phone moon story? I was thinking, don't you think it's interesting how we always get these terror attack things happening right before a major election?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
It is weird. I'll give you that.
It's very coincidental. So anyway, this is a Ouija board story that happened on a full moon.
Okay. What happened?
Well, I lived up north, up in San Geronimo Valley. We lived in this old house up in Marin County. And we had a wood-burning stove. And one night we did the Ouija board, and the Ouija board said, oh, should we go to the bar tonight? And I said, yeah, go to the bar. And I said, oh, who will I meet? And it said, oh, you meet this guy named Jake. So it spelled out the name Jake. So we went to the bar, and we met this guy named Jake.
Now that's weird all by itself.
So we both got freaked out, my girlfriend and I and all our friends that did the Ouija board. And so I decided I'm going to throw it away. I can't take it. I think it's too weird. Evil. So I threw it in the wood burner, you know, the wood burning stove that heats the whole house.
Sure.
So the next day, the house caught on fire.
Oh, my God.
And I was alone sitting in the house making jewelry downstairs, and someone came and knocked on my door and said, did you know your house is on fire? And it turns out that...
You couldn't smell the smoke?
No, I was downstairs. It was on fire from the top of the wood burning stove caught on the roof.
Oh, my God.
So... The firemen and all that. We were musicians in the house, and we had to get all the equipment out of the house. And so the Ouija board got even.
It sure did.
On a full moon.
It sure did. Well, what's the lesson here?
Well, the lesson is don't burn a Ouija board. Don't burn it to give it away, or I don't know what you do with them. I mean, I wanted to also tell you that, you know, people have signs, you know, they have moon signs, but when you want to know what your pet's sign is, it's where the pet's moon is. You know, where the moon is the day that the pet is born, not where the sun is.
And those are there are some charts where you can find that, right?
Yeah. And then the full moon is really the worst 3 days before and 3 days after.
Okay, good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm in upstate New York, up by Essex County.
Sure.
And it's a beautiful night. The full moon is out. It's incredible. I'm looking at it right now.
Do you hear any wolves howling?
I have heard them. They got koi dogs up here, actually, which
yeah.
is kind of interesting. But anyway, I wanted to tell you, like, I had an experience a couple of years ago where I was had a head, traumatic brain injury. And
what happened? Did you fall off something or what?
No, I was assaulted by this guy, and he took a knife and hit me between the eyes.
Oh.
And that's like, it's known as your third eye chakra.
Yes.
And ever since then, I've had like, it was a very traumatic experience, but it was like ever since then, I've been having these kind of like psychic dreams and these like really strange dreams, you know?
And what's happening to you?
Well, I just tell you, and I love your show. It's very interesting, and it's very good for me to listen to other people talking because they have very interesting things to talk about. But one of my dreams, like I went upstate on a trip with my mom, and I was like, if there's anybody out there, let me know, right? And I went to sleep. And in my dream, this ship flew over the house, right? And... and all of a sudden, like, my mom and all the people came, like, running in the house, right, thinking they could escape. The aliens come right into the house, right, and they come upstairs, and they're like, in my brain. I can feel it, right?
All right.
And I'm looking at one of them, and he looks like, he appears to me like one of my Jamaican friends, right? I mean, it sounds crazy. It sounds totally nuts, but I got to tell you, George. So I looked at him, and I said, you look like my friend. And all of a sudden, I heard laughing in my head, right? It was like I've never had a dream where I had another presence, actually, in my head. Okay, so I woke up, and I was in a cold sweat, and I just, like, and I thought it was real. And I went, I told my mom, and I was like, and then so, you know, I find out later, right, that the significance of this dream, because there's this guy, he calls himself Prophet Yahweh. I don't know if you
know him. I know him. He's been on the show before.
No, and he's made predictions that, you know, about when the aliens come, that they're black, you know, and that they're going to say that the black man is the ruler of the earth and all this and that.
All right, okay? what's your point though? Where are you headed here?
Well, my other point is that, but it's not really even along those lines, but it's that I had another dream, right?
I don't have time for all these dreams.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, everything that's happening today and everything that everybody's saying tonight is really true, you know?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But good luck. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome to the show.
This is Peggy Sue.
Hi, Peggy Sue. Come on. For real? A real name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name for the song.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you if there was a chance that a normal person like me could ever get a chance to co-host the show with you.
Probably not.
Probably not. What about your TV show?
Well, probably not. You want me to be honest, don't you?
Oh, well, yeah.
We just don't pluck people off the street and put them on this thing.
Okay. Point me in the direction.
Now, what have you ever done? Tell me, are you in the business? Are you doing programs?
No.
Well,
no.
See,
I've been
you
a
need to do
mother.
That.
I've
well, so what? Why do you want to do a show like this?
Because everybody says you should pursue a career that you will love.
And that's what, broadcasting?
And, yeah.
All right. Now what you need to do is take the realistic approach, and if that's what you really want, then start dabbling in it in the city that you live in and start working there. You know, when I was 19 years old, I was a copy boy. I used to make coffee for people. I used to change the old ticker tapes and the wire machines. In those days, we had ribbons. And, I mean, I did it all. So if you are serious about what you want to do, I would start working in the city you're in, going to some radio stations and even volunteering just to get your feet wet, and then we'll see how good you are. Maybe somebody in that city will say, hey, that's great. So maybe this dream of doing this program might not happen as a co-host, but who knows? Maybe you'll end up doing the whole thing one day if you're good enough.
Well, thank you.
That, you have to follow your dreams. So basically my word to you is just get in there if this is what you want to do and then work for it.
Thank you, George.
Okay, you're welcome. But I'm not going to mislead you and say you're going to be the co-host of the program. There are 900 people waiting to bump me off to do that. We're not going to put you in line. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm calling out of Homestead.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to make a couple comments about the whole Coral Castle thing guy was talking about earlier.
Yeah, you've been there, you've seen it, because it's right there in your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. I'm the fourth generation to come out of Homestead. My grandfather actually knew Lead Scallon.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
What did the grandfather say about this guy?
Well, actually, the original Coral Castle itself was about a quarter of the size of what it is now.
And then he moved it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was located in a completely different area of Homestead. It's about 5 miles away off of Chrome Avenue, which at the time when it was built back in the 20s, was the main road.
Well, did your grandfather believe that the Lead Scallon had some very bizarre supernatural powers or something?
Well, my grandfather was an extremely religious man.
All right.
And he didn't look so far into that area of it, but he did say there was something genuinely off about the man.
Well,
The whole castle was somewhat built into an homage of this girl that he kept trying to pursue.
Yeah, he was in love with this girl.
Yeah. And from what my grandfather has told me over the years about it was that when he built the castle, he tried to make this, the whole town at the time was very small,
mm-hmm.
He tried to make them believe that he was some kind of reincarnation or that he had all these powers or something.
Well, I think he did. He built the place by himself. He moved these things.
Yeah.
They weighed a fortune. I mean, they were huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's been a big Homestead legend for a long time. A lot of people go to the old site off Chrome Avenue, which is now, in fact, right across the street from the police station.
God, I thought you were going to tell me your grandfather told you how he moved these blocks.
No, his suspicion was that he used a block and tackle.
Oh, no. There's no way. There's no way. I mean,
no, them pieces they're big.
Yeah, there's no way. Okay, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Doug here in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Home of the Groundhog.
You got it.
I just wanted to call you, George. I have my head out the window. Full moon's up. And there was a huge green fireball that went down to the southeast, oh, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. Beautiful, beautiful, brilliant green.
Did you make a wish?
Oh, baby, did I.
And what is it?
I wish that all the listeners out there would take your advice about going to Stan's site. I just got off it, and he has incredible information.
Oh, it's great information for people.
Storing and water at home.
Stan Dale's website.
Yes. And purifying water and stuff like that.
And they're all inexpensive tips. You know?
All inexpensive.
Yeah.
You can do it with chlorine and hydrogen peroxide, et cetera. But
yep. People
should stockpile. Something big is going to happen soon. You can feel it. What I want to say about full moon is I was a telephone operator out in Phoenix.
Okay.
And for 5 years for AT&T and 10 years for MCI. And trust me. People used to pay people to work their full moon shifts.
They did not want to be around, did they?
I'm telling you, the moon can affect the tides in the ocean.
I'm one of the few people who enjoys coming into work on a full moon.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of fun with us.
I do.
And of course, Art did, too. He always has a fun full moon. Did you see about the volcanoes exploding down in the Philippines?
Oh, yeah. I had that as a lead story in our first hour. That's very close to his neck of the woods.
I wonder how he's doing. Yeah.
Well, he's doing okay, but okay. There are some little villages that they're evacuating.
Yeah.
He's in a high-rise.
Earthquakes.
Yeah.
Any telephone operator out there knows what I'm talking about.
I tell you what, though, you bring up an interesting point, which I shall talk to our engineers about. I mean, look how long it took us to get some of those broadcast lines installed out there. I wonder if anything like that happens, if those things go zap and that is it. So, guys, be on board. I don't want to have to go through this all over again. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Henry from Sun Valley.
Hello, Henry.
I was hoping to talk about the Philadelphia project and kind of take a new perspective on it.
What might that be?
Well, we had some callers talking about transdimensional physics and, other things like that. There's been a hunt for a new type of particle similar to a photon, but if you imagine the face of a clock with a photon, and then you take a slight minute axis, not even a whole number, a minuscule number. I can't give you how big it is. I just know it's extremely tiny. And what I mean by tiny, I mean really tiny. They've been able to take light off that axis, and they've called that the axion, kind of like the soap. And they've been doing this experiment where they take the photons, coherent photons, from a laser, shine it on a wall, and hopefully, with strong electromagnetic fields, two of them, similar to what, if you read into the Philadelphia Project, using strong rotating electromagnetic fields,
mm-hmm.
make a laser dot of a weaker amplitude appear on a wall that is past the reflective wall. So if you picture this, you have your laser pointer, you're shining it on the wall, and on the wall behind that will appear a faint, dim light. And my reasoning for this, why I think it ties in with the Philadelphia Project, is that people reported seeing these sailors move through solid objects and appear.
And didn't some of them apparently have half their bodies in, half their bodies not? They were stuck
exactly.
In time? Yeah.
And this was before the era of digital computers. So I think what we might be doing, this experiment, to prove, was called the PVLAS, polarization.
How do you know all this?
Oh, well, actually, this is not classified information or anything. This is in Scientific American.
Are you a physicist or
oh,
scientist?
Oh, no, I'm actually hoping to go into the United States Air Force, actually. You know, so wish me luck on this one. Basic's kind of tough, you know what I mean?
Well, sure, but you got to do it.
I hear you. Do it
I
for
did.
The country.
But not basic. I was an officer.
Now, I've heard that Tesla was involved in this, and he was one of the forerunners with the microwave.
Tesla was involved with it. As a matter of fact, part of Tesla's technology was used during the Philadelphia experiment.
Exactly. And I'm thinking what, instead of a laser, they might have been using a microwave. And what we're seeing is that due to the lack of digital control and the lack of refinement, people were getting thrown in an uncontrolled state. But if we were to work with it, you know, if we were to take that same technology, run it through, you know, the fast 64-bit computers we have now, like a Silicon graphics workstation, we could probably predict where those men are going to be thrown. But the phenomenon of this supposed happening of these axions being altered, changing from photon to axion and back again, kind of like a little switch, and appearing on this opposite wall in a fainter but still presence, still measurable presence, sounds exactly like what happened with the Philadelphia project.
No, it does. Hey, I got to tell you, it's admirable. You're going to go into the Air Force, but I got to tell you, you should go into science.
Oh, well.
We probably could use your brain, so go for it. Try that out first. You can always go into the Air Force later. How much time do we have? Maybe time for one more quick call. 1 minute. That's all I have left. Can you do it?
George?
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, Martin from Vermont. How you doing?
Good, Martin.
Yeah, I got a little concerning story for you.
I don't know. How long is it, Martin? We're almost at the end here.
Oh, well, I can make it pretty quick. Well, there was a Middle Eastern man that came into... Well, I work for a shipping company, and a gentleman came in to ship a package, and he left a notebook behind.
All right.
And a lady that works with us put it in our lost and found, called him up, said, left him a message saying it was here, you know. And the next following day, a white gentleman came in and was going to find the pack, or came in. He described the notebook as, you know, exactly what the lady left the message as. And he ended up, excuse me, sorry, pretty nervous here.
You guys gave him the notebook?
We gave him the notebook.
Why? He wasn't the person, but I guess because he described it, you figured it was his?
Right. What are the odds, you know? So he came in, you know, we grabbed him, gave him the notebook, he left, and the next day, the Middle Eastern man came back irate, you know, screaming and yelling.
So who is the guy who got the notebook?
Exactly. Who is that guy?
Ah, well, I hope he's on our side, whoever he might be. For Steve Carr, full moon, open lines, by the way, weren't they? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Wayne Roberts, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.